What's happening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children above ages? Will Hayes, the habitual line stepper from The Smoke here. I just want to let you know about a dope podcast that we here at The Smoke have been listening to. It's called The Non-Experts Podcast, hosted by Romero and Chris. Basically, two dudes who have absolutely zero business telling other people what they think. But thank goodness that they do, because we get a fantastic journey into the nonsensical, the bizarre, and the funny side of popular culture. Definitely a podcast that we over here have been enjoying, especially the This Week in Florida segment, where they just take a headline from a Florida newspaper and they comment on it. And you know Florida, crazy as hell, something in their water. These two dudes from the Non-Experts Podcast, crazy as hell too. Funny as motherfucker too. The Non-Experts Podcast is on all your streaming platforms. I hope you enjoy it when you listen to them. Tell them that The Smoke sent you. We out you.
This podcast is a Digital Diamond Network production.
Any of you radio personalities think you want smoke? Call me Mr. Chimney. I want smoke.
You are now tuned into the motherfucking greatest. I want all the smoke.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children above ages, you are now tuned into the world's most dangerous podcast, and we are recording, we're streaming live on Twitch. I don't think anybody can see, I have no viewers. We are streaming live on Twitch. We got Jay Thaddeus, of course. Idol can't make it. This is the world's most dangerous podcast. But without any further ado, let's get your AKAs, fam.
Yo, it's Jay Thaddeus, a.k.a. Black Juice, a.k.a. the Human Cohiba, a.k.a. where there's smoke, there's fire, a.k.a. maybe not...
Where's your enthusiasm, bro? Like, do you even want to be here?
Oh, okay, now let's run it back.
All right, let's run it back. Hold on. We're going to give me one of these two again. Just gave you a rim shot.
It's your boy Jay Thaddeus, a.k.a. Black Juice, a.k.a. the Human Cohiba, a.k.a. where there's smoke, there's fire, a.k.a. maybe not this time, but definitely next time, a.k.a. swing low.
You're a nigga. Swing.
Psych, don't call me a nigga.
Ah. And it's your boy Will Hayes, the habitual line stepper, Willie Camozzi.
Murderer.
A.k.a. the aristocrat, because we drinking where the pinkies up. Cheers, motherfucker. I don't even know where my camera is. There's my camera. I'm over here just cheers. Cheers, motherfucker. Gotta love that Appleton rum. A.K.A. the mayor. The ombudsman.
Hear ye.
The town crier.
Hear ye.
Illuminati Giuliani.
Do, 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 do.
The truth is always out that motherfucker. A.K.A. I'm knocking on some doors and I'm looking for some whores.
Horace here.
Will Hova's witness.
Hallelujah.
There you go. Amen. A.K.A. my mouth is a curse, but my tongue is a blessing. If shorty upset, I'ma teach you that lesson. The silver tongue gorilla.
Rah, rah.
A.K.A. beware of the ramshacks. The last Boy Scout. And finally.
Call me Mr. Chimney.
Because I bring the smoke in many flavors. Young Shisha. Harry Hookah. It's tough. It's tough to get this shit going. I'm gonna see if I'm actually streaming live on Twitch. While I'm doing that, how was your week? It's Christmas week. Christmas done come and gone. Boxing Day done come and gone. How's it been, fam?
Word. You know, Christmas was good. Got to chill with the family. Kept it pretty low key. This Christmas season just came and went like
quickness with the quickness.
Right. So yeah, it's just been. Just doing what we do.
That's what's up. The kid gets spoiled. You got your imaginary wife some gifts. What'd you get her for Christmas?
Oh, I didn't get her nothing.
Wow.
I got her a DVD of Casper the Ghost.
You got her. You got her a Casper the Ghost DVD. Maybe she could watch that when the parents are gone. She's like Toy Story toys. She just. And then when everybody leaves, doing all this shit, and then we do the live show, she all silent again, man. Yo, man, is this the baby's? This ain't the baby's first Christmas, is it?
Nah, second one.
Second Christmas. What you get for the youngin?
Yeah. I got him like a little hockey set. I got him like a little punching bag. It's got like these little baby gloves and like a little heavy bag.
A little heavy bag, yeah. Oh, and you got him that fancy ass. Your wife made him that fancy ass basketball net too.
Yeah. So you got to see that. What else you get him? Couple trucks, couple cars, couple books.
There you go. You got him a hockey set though.
Yeah.
That's Canadian as fuck. You know, black people down here be playing hockey.
Yeah, you know, it's a new generation though, bro.
Yeah. You gonna get him? You trying to get that? You trying to get Iggy?
I'm trying to get Iggy, Tiger, Lewis Hamilton, any sport.
Anything. Who's the black dude that does water polo? We trying to get that shit too.
Is that's a real thing?
I don't know. Water polo or black people in water? No,
black people. Like, is there like a black like Tiger Woods of water polo?
I don't know. There's got to be a Tiger Woods or LeBron James of everything.
Yeah, well, you know, then we need one for swimming.
Swimming, you know what I'm saying? If it's for swimming, you know he's going to be Jamaican. Like how Africans can run, Jamaicans can swim their asses off, bro.
Yeah, can they?
They're surrounded by water. They ain't got nothing else to do. Go to the beach and swim.
I guess.
And if you
so was, how come no niggas know how to swim, man?
I don't think niggas have places around here to swim. I think that's what it is.
I'm even thinking of all my Caribbean friends. I don't think any of them really swim.
Have you gone anywhere with them too? Can you swim, nigga?
I could like survive swim. Like I ain't going to a pool and like swimming laps or nothing like that. But
you could like tread water.
Yeah, like if I get tossed off a boat, I could swim back to the boat.
I can't even do that, bro.
Nah, for real, man.
Nah, if I get tossed off a boat, just make a T-shirt for me right away. Cause I am done.
Word.
We had a decent Christmas this year. I gotta put my shit on Do Not Disturb. My shit's coming. We had a decent Christmas this year. You know, the kids got spoiled. Kind of sucked with this COVID and all these lockdowns and shit. Couldn't see all the kids or all the family. Didn't get to see my mom's or pops or anything like that. My mom's popped by when I was at work. So we exchanged gifts, but she got to see Sassy, but she didn't get to see me. But it was all right. It was all right, you know. Okay. Gabby got a hoverboard, so she just was scooting around the house. You know what I'm saying? But I'm wondering, why do people call that a hoverboard? That's not a hoverboard.
It's rolling around on wheels. Yeah. Like, yo, so you got the one with like the two-wheel one?
Yeah.
Like on each. Yo, I did see one where it's basically like a unicycle kind of board. Oh, you got like the wheel down the middle. So it actually looks like a hoverboard, but it's still got the wheel.
Did they make a hoverboard? I don't know if I was watching. I don't know if it was like an episode of MythBusters, maybe, but I can't remember. But I thought they made a hoverboard, and that shit kind of worked out.
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Nah, like, and it looked like, you know how what's them joints called? They were big in like the 80s and 90s. G.I. Joe had them and shit, and they had like the pillow on the bottom, and it go on the water, and then it go on the sand hovercraft.
Oh, yeah.
And the hoverboard looked like that. You turned on, the pillow inflates, and then you scoot around like that. So it wasn't like, you know, Marty McFly hoverboard, but, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure they can make it. It's probably, if they do have the Marty McFly one around, it's probably just too expensive to, like, mass produce. But,
yeah,
I mean, that technology is not crazy anymore.
Do you remember, like, making shit up? When Back to the Future 2 came out, be like, yeah, my cousin had a hoverboard. It works off magnets. All you got, you know what I'm saying? Like, did you used to do that when you was a kid? Like, I rode a hoverboard.
Nah.
Yo. We used to, when Back to the Future 2 came out, we used to make shit up. Like, yeah, I remember making my own Pepsi and driving my hoverboard. My cousin has a hoverboard. His friend brought one over last Tuesday. That is, it's like, yo, we used to be so outlandish with that shit. Like, and every kid, like, would believe that shit. You think the dude down the street had a flying DeLorean, but he had to give that shit back because they went bankrupt or something, you know?
Yeah, no, man.
That's crazy. So, what do you want to talk about? I mean, we got the vaccine. We got two vaccines. You know what I'm saying? I know this is turning into, like, the COVID podcast, but we got, like, two vaccines. We got a mutated version of COVID. We got Lil Wayne selling Young Money's masters, but we have a whole bunch of artists selling their masters and shit. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, that, yo, what's up with Lil Wayne?
Was selling his masters?
Yeah, it seems like he was fighting so hard for it.
Yeah, but he didn't sell his. He sold Young Money. So up until, I think Young Money, everybody was on Young Money up until 18. So Drake up until 2018, Nicki Minaj and everything like that. But think about, I think, who was it who did, I want to say Neil Young, but I don't think it was Neil Young. But a lot of famous artists are selling their masters. I want to say Neil Young, but I could be wrong, but it was either Neil Young or one of those type of cats that sold it for like $300 million. And you got to think, like, with COVID, A, if you put out an album or whatever like that, even if you own your masters, you're not getting too much money off of that album, because most of the money from album sales, right, because you got to put the money back into the studio, you got to put the money back into a lot of the mixing, the mastering, and the production and everything like that, whatever you did for that, right? So a lot of the money that you get back from album sales goes into the making of the album. But they can't tour. If you own your masters and you're not under a label anymore, you can't tour. You can't make that tour money. You can't go on these huge-ass stadium-rocking tours anymore because of COVID. And they're wondering how we're going to get money. They may have investments and shit like that, but they're living the invest. If you, let's say you have $1 million in different investments, that's all, that's not an asset yet. That's just sitting there, right? That's like a credit, so to speak. People know you have that money and you could use it. You're not pulling that out right away, right? I don't know how it works in the States. So, but they want money that's coming in right away. So if you're selling your, they're starting to sell their masters because, not because they're going broke, but they're not generating, there's nothing out there to generate income anymore to where you're getting checks into your account that are sitting there for living and stuff like that. And they want to live a certain lifestyle. So $100 million for Young Money, or Neil Young selling it for $300 million and a whole bunch of different artists and stuff like that. Because if they don't, they're in a bad spot. They can't tour. They can't make a couple $100 million off of tours. They can't make off merchandise, because a lot of the merchandise is sold at the venues, right? Who's going online to buy Young Money merchandise? Not as much people that would be at the shows, I think, because you go to the show, you're caught up in the whole feel of the show. Now you want to buy the merchandise to show you were at the show, where at the yeah. show, let people, you know what I'm saying? So,
of course,
that's what I think. What do you think?
Well, you know, I was thinking, I would almost think you would want to hold on to your masters during this time, because that is, I guess it's a much more, it's a smaller amount of like trickle down income.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess you're right. If you do need, like, you know, you kind of held out most of 2020, then you come to the end of the year, you got your tax bill coming up, you got, you know, you got to pay your black card, you got, you know, maybe he's got a bunch of bills that he just has to pay. So that's yeah. what he needs, a lump sum of money. But
plus,
I don't know. I think it's that catalog is so valuable.
The Young Money catalog is worth a lot now, and it's crazy. Like, but because I was listening on the radio, they're talking on talk radio. They're talking about now every time, let's say Universal owns it. I think Universal bought someone's catalog. So if Universal owns the catalog now, they have the right people to talk to Ford to get a snippet of the song or a version of the song into a Ford commercial. They have the right people to talk to Cheerios. You know what I'm saying? Like Cheerios is, if you have like, I can't remember what it was. Was it Golden Grahams that had like,
yeah, but
you know what I'm saying? I feel like you get money off of that shit, but I don't think the artists themselves have the right people or the right wherewithal or knowledge to reach out to these corporations, say, hey, let's negotiate using one of my songs as some kind of product promotion, or like as the background music in a RAV4 commercial.
See, I think actually most artists do have, they'll have like what's called a licensing deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can go to a company that literally all they do is license music for numerous things.
Okay.
But you don't have to give up your masters to get that. And we know, because you know that show Ballers?
Yep.
the intro is Lil Wayne and Drake. So obviously that song's been licensed. They would probably get whatever royalties from that. It's not. I don't think there's an artist at that caliber that doesn't have a licensing deal in play.
So yeah, and yeah, then that's weird. Like maybe they don't. They have a licensing deal in play, but they need more. Like, there's a reason why Universal is buying this catalog. It's longevity and stuff. Maybe because a company is gonna think more ahead than the artist. Maybe. What do you think?
True. Like for instance, like I imagine, let's say that catalog is worth a hundred. I think Lil Wayne sold it for 100 million.
Mm-hmm. 100 million. Yeah.
So let's say it's 100 million. But let's say for that catalog to generate 100 million in cash flow, might be 15 years.
Right.
So Lil Wayne might be like, "Well, I need 40K tomorrow."
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the only reasoning I can see behind it, because it's going to be worth more in the long run. And speaking of which, you hear Taylor Swift was pretty pissed off because Scooter Braunson sold her catalog for $300 million and didn't even give her the opportunity to bid on it.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Okay, so how did she not have the opportunity?
Because A, he owns the masters, or owns her masters, right?
Yeah.
And she didn't even know that the masters were for sale. He just made a deal with I think it's E1 Entertainment or something like that. And yeah, he came up with the number of 300 million and he didn't even tell her.
Yeah.
But I guess her revenge plot is she's actually going to go to the studio and re-record all those songs. Create her own masters.
But can she do that? Like, can she re-record the songs? Like, wouldn't that be copyright infringement now since she doesn't own the songs anymore?
No, because you can always license. I mean, she might have to pay to license the music, right?
Right.
For instance, you've heard, remember, like, Lauryn Hill remade Killing Me Softly? Like, you could remake songs.
So you think, like, so Taylor Swift will have to do covers of her own music,
basically,
to get paid off of it. What? So, but I mean, she's indie now. So why didn't she just say fuck that old shit and just make some new shit that's gonna make money?
Because I'm sure her old catalog's
probably worth,
as you can see, it's worth 300 million.
Yeah.
So you can imagine, like, she'd be like, "Fuck them! I'll put out my own catalog," and then. I mean, I wonder. I don't know the details of how then you choose which master copy you're going to license from.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if Disney wants to use one of her songs in it, you know, they could. I guess they could go to either Taylor or the company that owns her prior masters. But yeah, again, I don't know the details on how that worked.
Would you ever sell your masters?
Fuck. You know. Like.
300 million. Let's say 300 million is put on the table.
That's a hard answer. That's a hard question to answer in this state of mind. If I had asset worth 300 million, obviously I got some money and maybe I don't need the 300 million right then and there.
Right.
You know what I mean? So like someone like Taylor Swift, like she's rich as fuck. If she did own her master, she wouldn't need to sell them. And as you can see, she wanted to buy him back. Like, she had the money to buy it back.
But what about these artists that own them? Like, you got, I think it was Neil Young. Someone, if you're watching out there on Twitch, fact check this for me. But he sold them himself for 300. Wayne sold Young Money himself for 100. You got a lot of artists selling. Like, Michael Jackson sold the Beatles and the Elvis catalog. Like, a lot of them are selling. You usually sell shit that's worth money because you need money, though.
Well, you see, if it's your own catalog, you might want to hold on to that because that's like your own personal work. You could pass that on to your children. Michael Jackson selling the Beatles, it might have just been like a business opportunity. Someone maybe offered to pay a little bit more than what they were currently worth at that time. And he's like, "Hey, I might as well make my quick buck right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that, that's more of just a straight business deal. But personally, you know, I think it'd be cool to own my master's, be able to pass that on to my children. You know, it's good. It's good. Feels good to make money off your own work.
Would you sell a portion? Like if someone's saying, I'll buy your master's for 300, would you sell 50% for 150 million?
If I don't need the money?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Don't. That's why I hate asking you questions. Because you always try to add extra shit to the questions.
No, but it's...
nigga, you selling your shit, nigga. You selling your ass for money on the street. Don't tell me if there's... Don't say why, nigga. Is you selling your ass on the street?
If I need the money, yeah. Like, I don't know what to tell
but
you,
if
man.
But if these artists are selling it, they obviously need the money. They're in a situation where they're not making the money.
So, yeah. I guess, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, well, if someone says you owe me $50 million and you don't have it,
yeah,
you got to go sell your shit to, you got to, like, they had to, I guess.
Like, and I mean, you could always tell, like, who's made good music and who hasn't. You have the artists that are selling their catalogs. You have artists that are selling their likeness for, or doing a bunch of different type of, like, remote shit. Right, and then you have the artists that hit up unsigned up and coming artists on Instagram to scam them out of money for non-existing mixtapes. Have you heard about that shit?
Yeah, but you know, I heard a lot of the times it's not actually the artist;
it's someone with a very similar like Instagram handle.
Yeah, or sometimes it's just like it's one of the homeboys. He's like. And he's just like, yo, man, do I have your permission to, like, use this as a side hustle? And homeboy would be like, yeah, go ahead. Be like, yo, I'm going to tell people yeah. I'm going to, you know. But I don't know 100%.
Now, there's a lot of artists that are doing it. From Gilly the Kid to Jadakiss to Cassidy to a lot of them that are doing it. Like, as an independent artist yourself, do you have any type of, like, advice? Like, what would you say to someone that sees like they're a legend, an idol, someone that not idol, but an idol, IDOL, that comes up and says, yo, send me $600 and you can get on this mixtape that I'm hosting.
We here at the I Want All the Smoke podcast have made it a life's work to give you the most entertaining, most dangerous, and most hard-hitting podcast in the history of podcasting. But we can't do it alone. For as little as $2.99 per month, you can become a supporter of the I Want All the Smoke podcast. That very small donation can help us bring you better content, better visuals, and blow these other podcasts out the water with real numbers. That's right, only $2.99 per month. If you want to be a supporter, all you got to do is go over to pod.fan/I Want All the Smoke and click on Become a Supporter. We also have different tiered memberships from gold to platinum to get you exclusives, merchandise, and a whole bunch of other goodies. So head over to pod.fan/I Want All the Smoke or iwantallthesmokepodcast.com and click on Become a Supporter. Remember, wouldn't you like to help a podcast like us?
And we're back. J Thaddeus is back. I didn't have my counting. I should have put my counting on. I'll cancel. Anyways, we're back. J Thaddeus is back. That was a nice little break. Yeah, so I was asking you about if you would sell your masters.
Yeah, and I would hold on to them as long as I possibly could. And I don't know what it would take to make me... Like, I would really, really need the cash in order for me to sell my masters.
Right.
But you would?
It depends. Like, I mean, if someone offered $300 million, I probably wouldn't sell them all. But I'd sell a period. I'd be like, okay, so let's say 08 to 12 is you can have that.
But yo, if your masters are worth, let's say your masters are worth 300, right?
Yeah.
How much do you think you would be worth if that was what your masters was worth?
Probably the same amount, just over time.
So if you were worth 300 and then you could get another 300 for your masters, do you actually need that 300?
All depending, like, if I needed it then and now, then yes, right? Because if I've already gone through a year of trying to put my put different songs behind different products and talking with different teams and da-da-da-da, and after a year, the fruits of my labors, I'm just over, just like barely over breaking even, then I might want to sell some. If I've been putting money into, if I've been putting my back into it and I've been coming up on top, then I should be, then I'm not going to worry about selling my masters and shit, right? But I think some of these artists are like, okay, like you said, they have in quote unquote, I don't know what to call them, but I call them, let's say, endorsement deals or whatever you want to call them and shit, right? And they have some of their songs through things like Ballers isn't in syndication. Ballers is on stream now. So even though that they have the song in the opening credits, you don't get a percentage every time someone streams the show.
Well, it depends.
You know what I'm saying?
You get, like, if they stream it on Crave, then yeah.
I don't think you get a percentage of it. I think you only get a percentage if Crave shows the show on one of their channels.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So every time someone, I mean, I don't know how the deal structure specifically works, but like, yeah, you will get credited for, you do get royalties every time that product gets played, right?
Right. Now, how much are the royalties? Because I know it can't be any better than if your song gets played on Spotify or one of the streaming platforms. Like, it's less than a penny every time your song gets streamed.
I don't know how commercials royalties work, but
well, not even commercials. Just I'm talking about just on the show that.
Sorry, yeah, TV royalties work.
Commercials has to be different. Commercials, you got to be getting a good chunk. You know what I'm saying? You could and with commercials, it's you can negotiate a different deal than I negotiate.
Yeah, same thing with TV though.
But is it the same thing with TV? But is it the same thing with streaming media?
I think if your streaming platform is a regulated platform, then yes. Like for like if it's on Crave, if it's on a Netflix, or if it's on any kind of like regulated streaming platform, then I'm pretty sure you're gonna get your royalties. Now if it's like someone streaming off a Kodi box, I think.
Well, no, you're not gonna get it off the Kodi box or anything like that. But the royalties, the royalties cannot, like, if these artists are selling their masters like they are, it can't be as good as having them on television commercials. It can't be as good. It can't be. Or else they wouldn't be. They're like, the selling of the royalties has to be indicative. Is that the word? Indicative of the cult of what's happening in a current state, and they weren't doing that before COVID. I think COVID really put a huge dent into how artists make money, because we're seeing a lot of weird shit that artists are doing now for money that we didn't see before COVID, when they could actually do shows and shit.
Yeah, like, have you noticed Snoop Dogg's doing every single fucking commercial that's out there?
Everything. Snoop Dogg was on a SodaStream commercial, which I was like, I should be on a SodaStream commercial because I put everybody on to fucking sparkling water.
Word.
Number one. Number two, like, Snoop's doing everything. I'm seeing like, just like every commercial. I heard Bacardi had a version of Shimmy Shimmy Ya. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, and everybody's like, oh, like, remember back in the day we say, yo, artists are selling out, artists are selling out. Then we realize, hey, like, selling out really isn't that bad if you're doing this shit to feed your family. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But
I'm just seeing artists on everything. Like you said, Snoop is on everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
He's starting his own fucking sports channel or something like that, or sports something.
Snoop?
Yeah.
Nah, I didn't see that one. But you know,
some kind of,
it's a crazy time right now. You know, I can't even blame these guys. Like, I know we think these guys are just fucking loaded, and they probably are, but we have no idea what their expenses are like, too.
Yeah.
So.
Because, I mean, we had a moderately large house in the upper northeast, and the heat alone, just NMAX alone, kind of had me shook. So just thinking about these niggas in mansions,
Yeah.
Just the upkeep of a mansion. Like, if you have a mansion, if you have a Bugatti, it's like $10,000 for an oil change or something stupid.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So we may think they're loaded, but I mean, at the end of the day, 150 to us is like 1,050 to them.
Yeah. Yo, you think, you know, like, what's his name, 50, have Mike Tyson's old mansion, and he said the carrying costs on that were like $70,000 a month.
Which makes no sense, because you need motherfuckers in that, if it's that size, you need a motherfucker in that house constantly to make sure one wing doesn't get decrepit because you don't visit it enough.
Yeah, right? Well, even things like, just like, imagine, like, I bet you mowing the lawn is probably like a $5,000 bill twice a week, type thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
I'd have to, like, piss my woman off daily in order for the house to stay clean. That's when she cleans, like, extra deep cleans is when she's mad.
Yeah.
Like, you know them little screws that, where the toilet lid screws?
Yeah.
When she's mad, them things sparkle. They sparkle. You know what I'm saying? Who else is looking for money? Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. Did we talk about that?
I feel like we did. Did we?
Did we talk about the fight? Did you stream the fight? Did you watch the fight live?
I didn't watch it live, nah.
No. Seemed like I didn't want to give them niggas money. I didn't want to. I love Mike Tyson. I love Roy Jones, but they took a lot of my money in the 90s and 2000s. Like, I don't want to give them no more of my money.
Nah.
Nah. And what they say, they look like two uncles at the barbecue fighting over something.
Yeah, what they say. Your two uncles when they got too drunk.
Yeah. The highlight of that shit was Snoop's commentary, though, speaking of Snoop.
Yo, did you hear about this beef between Snoop and Eminem?
Eminem. Yeah, I heard Eminem called out Snoop.
Yeah, and I listened to the verse
on one of his songs.
And I mean, it kind of does sound like he's calling him out, but I'm like, what's this about? Like, I still don't even know what he's really talking about. Yeah.
How does the verse go? Do you remember?
Nah, something about like I thought you were a god. He's like, never mind, I spelled God backwards, so I meant dog.
And I was you know what? Let me find this out. Yo, while I'm looking this up, just so we don't look stupid because we're live, talk about the Eminem album in that part. To give us your thoughts.
Yo, like I said, I'm kind of confused. Like, I get that he's calling him out, but I don't know what Eminem's mad at Snoop for.
Right?
And it's just very unclear. It's clear that there's an issue there. But it kind of sounds like Eminem feels like Snoop let him down a little bit. Not that he's even pissed off or like he has like a real beef with him. He's like, oh, I thought I looked at you like this and you kind of disappointed me somewhere. But
so Snoop disappointed Eminem?
That's what the line sounds like. Unless you hear something different.
Can I be honest with you? There wasn't a lot that made me want to go and listen to an extended version of an Eminem album. I'll tell you that much. Even when I heard that he dissed Snoop, I was like, man, what's new in Destiny 2? Like, what's new on the Xbox front? Like, you know what I'm saying? But this is what I got from my extensive research.
Okay.
In case you missed it, two of the biggest names in the rap industry, Snoop Dogg and Eminem, are beefing.
This is your research? It sounds like you're just reading out.
Nigga, whose team are you on, nigga?
Go ahead.
No, nigga, I wish I had... You're a nigga. Whose team are you on, nigga?
I'm on
you supposed to be on Team Smoke.
I'm on Team Nigga.
Team... I was born by niggas, raised by niggas. I'm gonna be a nigga. All right, back to my extensive research. Now, this is from a compilation of a bunch of one article. Fans believe the drama started when Snoop Dogg listed the greatest MCs of all times and he left the Slim Shady rapper out of the list. The drama only continued when Eminem released a new project called Music Be Murdercide, the Murder by the B-side, on Friday, which took direct aim at Snoop on the song Zeus. The Drop It Like It's Hot rapper. I hate it when they do that shit.
Me too.
The Drop It Like It's Hot rapper. Like, bro, just write the fucking article. We know what Snoop made. He seemingly addressed their beef via Instagram posts, and now fans are weighing in the rapper on this whole debate. Snoop recently listed who he believes are the greatest MCs of all time, but left Eminem out of the list. He later explained why he chose those particular individuals during an appearance on The Breakfast Club, during which he said, "Eminem, the great white hope. White rappers had zero respect for rap. Dr. Dre has probably put Eminem in the position that he would be considered one of the top 10 rappers ever. I don't think so, but the game thinks he is. The top 10 lyricist and everything that comes with it just because he's with Dr. Dre. There's some niggas in the 80s. This is old. Like, but then Snoop put up an Instagram post that said, people who can't communicate think everything is an argument. So everybody's saying, like, oh, that's his comeback to M. So I think M got mad because Snoop didn't put him in the top 10, and then M came out with that verse on Zeus. Is the rambling, scrambling, fintambling, hambling rapper correct in coming at Snoop? Like, how do you come out at the godfather of rap?
Yeah, you know
what was the case?
I would have to see who else is on that list, but... Yeah. Hey, I'm like, yo, those listers, like, so, like, it's just personal opinion, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So, I mean, I've heard lots of people say Eminem's not on their list, and they don't all get a fucking verse.
So, this is Snoop Dogg's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, wait. I think I found Snoop's top 10 rapper list.
Okay.
Yeah, so Snoop's in no discernible order. Here's Snoop Dogg's top 10 rappers list. Now, for y'all watching on motherfucking Twitch, y'all see how I do my research. Extra. I'm in here. I'm a fucking roving reporter. You know what I'm saying?
Are you going to win a Pulitzer? Is that what
I want to pull this. Yo, how old were you when you found out that Pulit wasn't giving out surprises? How old were you? What?
Today.
What? It's not a Pulitzer surprise, nigga? Pulitzer ain't giving out surprises, nigga? No, it's a Pulitzer surprise. Yeah. That's what I said, nigga. A Pulitzer surprise. Anyways, here's Snoop's top 10. Slick Rick, Ice Cube, LL Cool J, KRS-One, Rakim. Run from Run DMC, DMC from DMC, Big Daddy Kane, Ice-T, and Too Short. Now, listening to this, you can tell that Snoop is an artist that broke in the 90s and came up off of 80s hip hop.
Yeah, like Eminem doesn't even sound right on that list.
No. And with someone that broke off of 80s hip hop that influenced how they put their whole family into generational wealth, would they be like, oh yeah, the nigga that went under my mentor after I started mentoring after I left my mentor would be in their top 10?
I mean, when you hear that list, you could, if I was Eminem, I'd be like, I could see why someone, if that's their list, I could see why I wouldn't make that list.
Yeah.
It'd be different if he was out here saying, you know, Drake.
In my top 10 worst rappers. Yeah. Drake, Lil Yachty,
yeah.
Lil Xan, Lil Peanut.
But even in that context, I'd be like, oh, okay, I could also see why I'm going to be on the hot list either, right? Like, if you said like Jay-Z, Nas, like people from Eminem's era, then yeah.
Eminem's era.
Then you can say like, yeah, I deserve to be on that list.
Who's your top 10 rappers? We got Bazaar, Swifty, Proof. Like, you just name off all the D12 and you're just like, oh. Royce the 5'9".
Yeah.
Trick. Like, every rapper from Detroit except for Eminem. You know what I'm saying? Insane Cloud Posse.
Big Sean.
Wow. Okay, but this is the thing. Let's say our dreams came true, nigga. And they asked you that question. Who's your top 10 rappers? You on The Breakfast Club. Not just, like, the Will Hayes Show. Or Weeknights with Sandy McPhee, you know what I'm saying? And you asked the question, and you named 10 rappers, and I wasn't on that list. Nigga, I have your phone number. I would just call and be like, bro. I wouldn't even call. I'd be like, yo, I'm having a barbecue. And at the barbecue, while we eating steak and sipping on some motherfucking 1722, I'd be like, yo, bro, so why wasn't I on your top 10 rappers list? You would tell me, and I'd be like, cool. I wouldn't write a song about you. But that's what Eminem does, and that's why I'm not the biggest Eminem fan, because if you're still dissing Mariah Carey and Nick Cannon, you have an issue letting go of shit.
You see, and part of me feels like, I don't know if Eminem's that petty. I feel like there's got to be a little bit more to that story, just because I can't picture him like
Snoop. Him and Snoop or him and Mariah Carey?
No, him and Snoop. I can't picture them really having an issue over that alone.
When I heard the lyrics, it didn't sound like a diss. It kind of sounded like homage. Dame Dash, nigga. Dame Dash.
You see what I mean, though? So that's exactly what I was saying. It's like I didn't catch it quite like a diss. It almost just sounded like he was paying him homage, and for some reason he's disappointed in him for, I don't know. Like, it sounded more like Snoop let him down on some level.
Yeah. Now, let me be 100% clear. I misspoke. Not when I heard it. When I was flipping through the news and I saw.
Yeah.
Rich said, make it a double. So I'm going to make it a double. Listen, I don't want to drink all this because this is my fucking, I'm streaming tonight as well on the game. If I drink all of this, a triple. Kiss my ass. I'm just keeping it where it is, motherfucker. Fuck these niggas want, let me get drunk on the show. But I was reading it through the thing, but it just seems like it's odd. And even that first article that I read.
I guess I got to join you, though, right?
Why are you always taking us on a tour through your house? We're going down the stairs. The J Thaddeus goes to his smart TV or some sort, his smart fridge, which has a screen and has the same paneling as his. Oh, he's going. He's going, and he's got the
polo gin.
Oh, you got They got polo gin, nigga. Pour it up, nigga.
Polo club.
Oh, you put the polo shirt on too, nigga. You polo like I'm polo.
Yo, you even down to the you got the polo crepe pants.
Oh, nigga, I got the same shits. Hold on.
Gotta do the ice right. Guys trying to keep up with my polo game.
You should have said something, nigga. We on the podcast, nigga.
I did. I said,
wait, yo, you got the nigga, you got the polo pajama bottoms, nigga? You got the polo pajama bottoms, but nigga?
Those are the navy blue?
The navy blue, no cap, bruh.
I got the navy blue pair too. But right now I got the there gray you go. Pair. I literally can wear polo from head to toe
head
three
to
times
toe.
Over.
Yo, Cross Iron fam, you go to the Cross Iron?
I get it. Cross Iron or the Bay.
I don't like going to the Bay, man. The Bay, Cross Iron, I like because Cross Iron's the outlet. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
But yo, the Bay got crazy sales there sometimes.
All right. So while we're getting the drinks right now, you know what? Fuck it. Let's do this. His name is Dicks on My Face wants a shout out? No, motherfucker. Your name is Dicks on My Face. Pause. No, you cannot get a shout out.
You just did.
I didn't shout him out. I'm cussing him out. First of all, your name is Dicks on Your Face. I don't give a fuck about your sexuality, but at the end of the day, my name isn't Pussies All in My Mouth, nigga. Get a real motherfucker name. It's 2020. Number two, can you get a shout out? Quit begging for shout outs. That's why you probably have dicks all over your face, because you stay begging, motherfucking cuckold ass motherfucker. Shit. Wow. No. Pause. Wow. Off my Twitch. Peace out. Eat a slack of dick. Polo, head to toe, fam. You saw that. You saw the polo drip I had. You saw the picture with the polo drip. I had the polo sweats. You know what I'm saying? That polo vest. I look like a pack of crayons.
Yeah.
The pack of crayon polo drip. I got polo everything except for the hats. I don't like the way the hats look. I don't like the curved brim hats. Like you, because it fits. Yo, I got a big. I got a. my head look like a motherfucking milk dud, nigga. You know, I can't a light skinned milk dud. I look like the light brown Eminem. I can't, not Eminem the rapper, Eminem the candy. Mm. I can't be putting that on that motherfucker.
Yeah, you don't like Eminem, eh?
No, I can't say that. I can't say I don't like Eminem. I dig Eminem. There's certain stages of Eminem I don't like. I love the Slim Shady EP. I love all the way up until Encore. The drunk Eminem is the one artist that I don't know. I don't like sober music artists, which is detrimental. I don't, you know what I'm saying?
What do you
the
mean?
best artists out the gate. Were as good as they were when they're hot. I don't like listening to I Wanna Hold Your Hand.
That's not true.
You know what I'm saying? But I will listen to Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Band for hours and on hours. I will listen to the White Album for hours because motherfuckers were hot. I love Jimi Hendrix because motherfuckers were hot.
What about?
I love Lil Mixtape Lil Wayne. You know why? Because the motherfuckers were high. I love what, high artists. When Eminem sobered up, he wasn't as good as he was before.
I'll agree with that. You know, but I know you haven't listened to this new album.
Nope.
But
because I listen to the old album. I know there's new songs on it, but I listened to the album already. I'm just not a fan of deluxe albums.
This one's actually a little bit better, actually, I think. And you know,
I didn't even catch the Conway. I didn't even fuck with Conway's deluxe album. Not that I didn't fucks with it, I just haven't listened to it yet.
I don't know. No, I haven't. But you know, I sent you Jim Jones's one though. That one was fire.
Did you send it to me?
Yeah.
When? You didn't send me shit.
My nigga.
Nigga, you talked about it.
This nigga doesn't know.
Yo, like, look it up. And while we're doing that, yo, good Mr. Good Stuff says, rappers are best when they're hungry as fuck. That's 100% true. I love out-the-gate rappers. Rappers come out the gate. But that's kind of changed from, like, 2016, 2017 and on. Rappers out the gate don't sound as hungry as they used to. Like, you remember listening to Life After Death? What's Biggie's first album, Life After Death?
No,
Ready to Die. You listen to Ready to Die. Biggie was broke. You can hear in his lyrics. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can hear that Biggie was hungry. And then you hear Life After Death, and that's when you hear Biggie with some money. You know what I'm saying? Here, DMX is a bad example. If you hear Jay-Z's Reasonable Doubt, Jay-Z wasn't broke, but you can hear Jay-Z's hunger.
Right.
Stop. I know you stopped. You know what I'm saying? Iron Man to Supreme Clientele. You can tell Ghost was a different type of hungry on Iron Man.
Ooh.
Ghost was like, Ghost had that money. Ghost had a little bit of money, but he didn't have that I'm comfortable. Ghost wasn't comfortable.
I don't know, because you can imagine. See, those times were a little bit different too. Because you can imagine Wu-Tang came out in what, 93?
93, 94, yeah.
So they came out in 93. At this time, they're already like touring. So he's making that tour money.
But he's not comfortable.
Maybe not, but at least he might have been. I mean, he was on Raekwon's album, which, you know, the paper's got to be Cuban great Lynch, for that. Yeah. And he didn't make that album till 97 was when the Iron Man album came out, I think. 96, 97.
Was it 97? I think it was, you got it.
And then Supreme Clientele came out in 2000 or like 99.
Now listen to that transition. Listen to how Ghost is on Supreme Clientele.
And I think,
Ghost is mad comfortable in his zone. Like, Ghost is getting his chops. He's, it feels like if you listen to Iron Man, all the stuff he's done up into Supreme Clientele, it's like a coming of age movie. And once he hits Supreme Clientele, he's like, now I'm in my zone. Now I'm comfortable with my voice.
But
I'm comfortable with some of my cadences. I'm more comfortable with the words I make up. Whereas Iron Man, he did it, but Iron Man still felt like not that he was holding back, but like he was rushed. He wasn't like Tiger Woods when he was a kid was an excellent golfer.
Yeah.
Dope golfer. Right? But there's still nuances and subtleties and things that fucks up his golf game. And that's the same thing with rappers. When they first come out, they're hungry as fuck, so they go hard and they sound dope. But then you get that little bit of tenure under you and you sound better. So the hunger, yeah. But I still think they sound the best when they're hungry because they're not falling back on habits. They're not that we know about. They're not industrialized. I don't know how to explain
You know what I'm saying? It's funny because I actually, and that ghost analogy is kind of perfect because I think Ghost sounded his best on Supreme Clientele. Like that's when right. So I feel like for some, yeah, the first project tends to be the best one, but for others, not. You know what I mean?
But I don't think
like Jay-Z, I don't think Reasonable Doubt is his best project.
No, but he sounded. You know what though? Yeah, you're right. But sometimes artists don't sound the best on their best project. They sound the most comfortable. Does that make sense? Like, Ghost sound. I think Ghost sounded the best on Iron Man. Nah. Like, for some reason, Ghost sounded the best on Iron Man. Like, he just. There is more feeling behind what he was saying. There's more emotion. Supreme Clientele is his best sounding project. Does that make sense? He's more polished. He's more, you know what I'm saying? It's like when you're like a fighter. It gets their first fight. If they win their first fight, it's probably because they're chaotic and you know what I'm saying? So they don't look as good, but they knock the motherfucker out in whatever second because they just in there hungry and shit like that. Whereas you get to your 15th to your 20th fight, you're leaning back more, you're on the ropes more, you're conserving your energy more and shit like that. So you're boxing better. But that first fight when you came out the gate and went wham, 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 and motherfuckers out, that looked better. You know what I'm saying? Because you knocked the motherfucker out. I don't know. That may be wrong as well. I've been drinking Appleton. I'm just throwing shit out.
I think we just like the first project because, like, it's new. So everything.
Yeah.
Everything feels. Everything looks good when it's brand new. And then when you actually get to digest it for what it really is, you're probably going to go with a more seasoned project.
That's why niggas cheat. Black men don't cheat, but that's why niggas cheat.
Okay.
New pussy looks good. New pussy looks appealing. And then you're like, ah.
Fair enough.
You know what I'm saying? That's why every time you think you see some new pussy, just take a step back and be like, the pussy you have at home can be new if you spice it up.
Yeah, so like, what's the saying? No matter how good the beef is, you always want bacon for breakfast.
Nigga, what?
Like you know how you love beef, right? Or most people like steak,
right?
Like steak's probably like obviously a better cut of meat, but
than bacon.
But on a Saturday morning, you still want bacon. Like you can't have beef morning, lunch, and dinner.
You true.
Change it up.
Well, you can't, but you can. I mean, you can have steak and eggs.
Yeah, but okay.
But I understand the analogy, I think.
I just...
Okay. Yeah, I get the analogy, fam. I get it. Don't tell me you made that shit up. Like, tell me someone you heard that from someone. Don't tell me that's you, B. You need to... Mr. Lyrical, you need to put that back in your pocket. This is the same nigga that said, watch go TikTok, pussy go drip drop. You got to put that beef and bacon back in the back pocket. I tell you right now, though, I used to say, I still do. I said, you show me the flyest girl on the planet, and I'll show you a motherfucker that's sick of her shit.
Yeah.
You dig what I'm saying?
That's facts.
You know what I'm saying? I even say that to Sassy. Sassy gets so mad. Everybody's up like, babe, you could be the flyest girl on the planet, but I still can be the nigga that's sick of your shit. She's like, what do you mean that? I'm like, you just chill. Just chill for a second.
Isn't that crazy?
I don't just even know how we got on this tangent. What are we talking about? This is a wonderful podcast.
You were saying about hungry rappers.
Hungry rappers, yeah. So... Do you think that rappers sound the best when they're at their hungriest or when they're at their comfortablest? In not comfortable like sitting back and dialing it in, but I mean just more in tune with their game. Because if you like look at Tikal and then look at Tikal 2000 or anything else that meth has done.
Yeah, right. And you know what's crazy? It's funny because I remember you saying that you liked that Tekel album.
And the first one?
Yeah.
And fucking one of my favorites.
Me too. And I don't understand how that was never, like, everyone always says, like, the classic solo Wu albums was like the Purple Tape, Liquid Swords, even
Dirty Version.
Even Iron Man and Dirty Version get more accolades than Tekel. And I think Tekel's probably top three. I think Tekel's better than Iron Man. Yeah,
but because Iron Man's more constructed, though, not constructed, it's more uniform.
Mm.
And if you listen to Tekel, Tekel is like, yo, I feel like Meth was like, yo, RZA, just go all out. You know what I'm saying? But not, it's not as crazy as Dirty Version, because I don't know what Dirty was on. You can't be as crazy as Dirty. But if you have, like, from Mr. Sandman to Bring the Pain to Release Yo Delph, like, Tekel was just everywhere.
Yo.
To Method Man, Method, that was on the Wu album.
Yeah, but they did do the remix on that album, though.
Yeah, I didn't like the remix.
Neither did I.
I like the original so much better.
Tell the truth, that was one of my least favorite songs by Method Man at that time. Like, I get everyone was so hyped about it, but I'm like, yo, yes. Like, I thought Bring the Pain is way better than that shit, or Release Your Delph is way... That was just like one... To me, that would have been a just an album cut. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't...
Method Man, yeah. But that was, like, the thing... But I think the original Method Man needed to be done, because wasn't he the next one to drop, right?
Yeah,
And it built that hype.
But that it's funny because, like, that to me, that was just, like, the most average Method Man song. But that was, like,
yeah,
his huge single that put him on the map. Like, they used that song as the single for Wu-Tang. Can you imagine having a single for Wu-Tang?
Yeah, that's true.
And it's, it's not even just a song by one member. The song is all about that member.
It's not just from him. It's about him. Yeah. But that's the thing. It's, like, because you know how RZA would do. RZA would have everybody in the studio. And then he would say, the best verse gets on this track. So he probably had everybody in the studio, gave him a beat, and said, the best solo song gets on. And Meth killed everybody. He had to have. If that's how RZA worked, that had to be how that shit went down. Now, I've been hitting Method Man up in his DMs, asking him to come on to the show. I got blocked and I got a restraining order, but he's going to be on the show eventually.
Okay.
Hand to Horace. I'm telling you. So Release Yo Delph. So what do you think is the best song off of Tekel then?
For me personally, I like Bring the Pain. I thought when I heard that track, I think that's one of the best hip hop beats of all time.
Yeah,
Bring the Pain, and just the way Meth killed that flow, just the way there was no structure, even the hook was just random as fuck.
Bro, it's in my head. Like, you see me going like this?
Where that was, I did. Yo, yeah, the whole.
To some Chabayan. I think my thing is my choice is gonna be You're All That I Need with Mary J. Because that has to be, apart from Renee, that has to be the most hoodest love song in the world.
Mm-hmm.
The most relatable love song in the world to niggas. And after that, Release Yo Delph. Because Release Yo Delph was just Method Man upside down with half of his hair done with the eye and the fucking Wu bangs and just swinging and shit. Shit had me when I was a kid.
The energy from that album was just fucking nuts.
Bro, I've broken so many pieces of furniture in other people's houses.
Yeah.
That song comes on, I'm ripping shit out.
Yeah, man.
Yo, we got a couple comments. We have Cause I Can't Stop says, your wives are listening right now, thinking, did this motherfucker just call me beef? Yeah. We have Mr. Goose.
Wait, what was that? Yo, your wives are listening right now, did this motherfucker just call me beef?
Your wives are listening right now, thinking, did this motherfucker just call me beef? Yeah, it's better than calling them pork, I think.
What?
Because you sat there and said that you can have beef every day, but you're going to walk up and want pork in the morning.
I said bacon.
Yeah, we're still recording. Huh?
I said bacon.
Bacon, yeah. Mr. Good says they make mixtape gold. Then, oh wait, my bad. What's it say? They make mixtape gold, then make labels bullshit. Then they get some freedom and make gold if things go right. Yeah, that's true. But that's to me that feels like a newer, older strategy. That feels like 2000s.
But yo,
I wasn't really fucking with the mixtapes in the 90s. It was like the 03, 04 when mixtapes started popping off for me.
But yo, you gotta admit though, the mixtapes built all the hype, and then you would get a dope album. Like 50 came up with crazy mixtapes to Get Rich or Die Trying.
Right, but Get Rich or Die Trying is 75% mixtape. They're just remade mixtape tracks.
But still,
and some shit off of Power of the Dollar.
But still, the album itself
is a dope album. Get Rich or Die Trying isn't a real album. Get Rich or Die Trying is an album with mixtape cuts on it. You dig what I'm saying?
Okay, but like even his first Weezy, when he went nuts, and then he put out the album
Carter Three, Carter Two.
Carter Three was the big one, but that was
Carter Three Two was the big one. Yep.
Carter Three was after Carter Three came, because I feel like Carter Two is when the mixtape run started.
Which one have Fireman?
Carter 2.
Carter 2, yeah, then you're right. Yeah, Carter 2, then the mixtape run. But then you look at it, it's like Lil Wayne was on, in a year, I think he had like 200 to 300 features.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And same with 50. Like 50, we couldn't even get their mixtape. 50 was the reason that I gave so many computers STDs through LimeWire, fam. Dead ass. It was all 50 Cent and G-Unit shit. Like, Lloyd Banks in the house is bad news. Like, bad news was my shit. And motherfuckers were like, where'd you get this shit? Oh, my God. I'm selling my own versions of 50 Cent mixtapes for, like, $7 outside the club and throwing my tracks on the motherfucker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, but the mixtapes, yo, Richard was, or Mr. Goodstuff was saying that physical mixtapes existed before. Physical mixtapes did exist before, but the physical mixtapes we got weren't from the artist. Like, I remember before, the only mixtapes we got were, like, if DJ Rectangle or Q-Bert or the DJs had an album, like Clue and everything like that had songs mixed over different shit, or the 60 Minutes of Funk with Funk Flex. Motherfuckers would put that on a cassette and then hand that shit out through the hood. I don't remember artist-driven mixtapes until like 03, 04 with the 50 and, well, 50 with his mixtapes. But then it didn't blow until the Don Cannon age, when Don Cannon started coming out and started pushing Wayne's mixtapes and Wayne on the mixtape with like the Drought and the Gangsta Grills. I think the Gangsta Grills movement is what propelled mixtapes into that level, where mixtapes were considered a viable option for artists.
Well, I think 50 did it first though.
Music,
because 50 was like the first like mixtape.
Oh, he did
out by an artist that like really blew up.
Oh, he definitely did, but it's he set that up. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, he's the motherfucker that not saying he took an L, but he's the motherfucker that hit the Pop Fly. He hit the Pop and went out for the dude on Third to hit that score.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I see what you mean. Like, he hit it up, but Wayne capitalized it on it a bit.
Wayne capitalized on it, and then the DJ started getting into it, and it was a rap. Because you don't see, Who Kid has a lot of good mixtapes, but you don't see people out there with the fame that Cannon got, that Khaled got, that a lot of these mixtape DJs got. You dig what I'm saying?
But the Khaled formula was around before 50, because that is the original formula, like the Funk Master Flex, DJ Clue, that's the original recipe. It wasn't until 50 came and said, "Yo, as an art, I'm gonna do a mixtape as an artist."
Right.
I think that's different than just like the
50 set that lane.
Yeah.
50 set that lane to where artists said, we can do this.
Yeah.
right? And then Wayne said, we can do this and make money, and fame off of it.
Yeah, yeah.
50 did it to get the album deal. Wayne did it to resurrect his career.
Yeah.
And Wayne did it like no other. I think if you have the top five mixtape, top five mixtape artists in the world, Wayne would be number one and 50 would have to be number two.
Yo, who would be number three?
For mixtapes, number three would have to be... Fuck, it'd have to be either Gucci or Jeezy.
Word.
They're gangsta. Yo, Gucci and Jeezy's gangsta. And I'm not even a Gucci fan. But their Gangsta Girls series is crazy. And Nipsey's up there too. The Bullets Ain't Got No Name.
Yeah.
That series is, and the Bullets Ain't Got No Name series is what put me on to Nipsey. And then you have the Mailbox Money, then you have the Crenshaw, then you have the Slauson Boys and everything like that. But Bullets Ain't Got No Name, 1, 2, and 3 are classic mixtapes that deserve Grammys, fam, in my opinion.
For real.
I think I'd put Nipsey, actually I put Nipsey at three. I put Nipsey at three for mixtapes.
Interesting.
Because, yeah, and it's not even based off of the fame. It's based off of the content of these fucking mixtapes. You know the Bullets Ain't Got No Name.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think of, like, who really pimped the mixtape game. And I think Nipsey, I could see Nipsey. He even had that one mixtape where he sold, they were like $100 a pop. And Jay-Z,
bought like 500.
10 of them.
It was like, it was 1,000 and Jay-Z bought 100.
Yeah,
it was the
like
Crenshaw
that.
Mixtape. Yeah, something like that. It was the Crenshaw mixtape, though. The actual tape. Like, you can get it for free. Anybody can get it for free. But the actual, it was like the mixtape, and it came with concert tickets, and it came with swag and everything like that. Probably one of the first bundle deals you can get, if you think about it. And I think it was $1,000 a copy.
No, it was $100 a copy.
Oh, then Jay-Z bought 1,000 then.
Something like that.
I think he made 100,000 off of Jay-Z.
No, I think Jay-Z spent like $10,000 on his...
Something like that, yeah. And it's still dope. It's still dope. Like, and Nipsey puts out, why am I showing this comment? It's already been there. Nipsey put out, I haven't heard a bad Nipsey Hussle song. I've heard a bad Wayne song, and Wayne's my favorite artist.
You haven't heard?
I've never heard a bad Nipsey Hussle song.
I think I definitely have.
I mean, which one, nigga?
I couldn't even tell you, but I've listened to Nipsey projects and had to skip.
That's a joke. Which one?
I mean, I wouldn't even know the name of the song. I just wouldn't, like, I listened to the first two or three bars and I got to move on.
Where it's just Nipsey Hussle?
Like, I'm telling you, like, I'm listening to, like, even, like, on that Victory Lap album, there's at least five.
There's nothing to skip over on. Nigga, you lying now. You over
Yo,
here capping.
You got to understand this, too.
Nigga, you capping.
I'm not lying, because you know me. I'm not big into West Coast rap like that.
Right. True.
So for me, like those real West Coast beats kind of lose it for me. I'm not even saying that the song is trash. It's just not my flavor of sound a lot of times when it comes to these West Coast beats.
Yeah. I think, yeah, okay, I feel you. I take away the cap.
I appreciate that.
I wanted to give you the dun-to-dun. I can't find it on my fucking soundboard right now.
And you know what's crazy? You could be throwing me all those dun-dun. I wouldn't even know.
You wouldn't even hear it because I ain't got the shit turned up right now. I ain't got the shit turned up.
This whole time you've just been dissing me and I'm just smiling like.
Who do you think is the greatest mixtape artist?
Yeah, it has to be Lil Wayne. Has to be.
The greatest mixtape artist of all time? Yeah.
Like if we're saying who used mixtapes to their fullest potential? Weezy.
It took Weezy out of the mud of hip-hop.
Yeah.
Because nobody was checking for Weezy.
You know what, though? Maybe. I mean, I'm not going to downplay the mixtapes at all. But that Carter 2 might have done it on its own, too, right?
Carter 2 made it put up our antennas to be like,
Yo, because I'm telling you, I had no interest in Hot Boys or Cash Money whatsoever. And I.
Oh, for real?
I was such a New York East Coast type of hip hop.
Yeah, that's
head.
True. I remember you.
So that
I remember you.
That South shit. That South shit, man.
I remember you.
But then when I heard Hustler's music, It's my motherfucker. So ride with it, y'all. It's da 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 da. I was like, yo, this is so like, it's just one of those chill.
Because the nigga, but the nigga's on a rooftop in New York, dressed in bathing ape, the wintertime bathing ape gear. He looks so
full fatigue with the Tim's. It was so, and he had like that, and lyrically he wasn't spitting like. He wasn't spitting like East Coast like bars and nothing, but it just had that vibe. And I was like, yo, that was the first time I'm like, that was the first Lil Wayne joint. I'm that, like, I like this.
The South got that bop, my nigga. The South got that bop, my nigga.
Yo, nigga, I grew up, I never wanted a bop. Like, I wanted.
You didn't want that bop? Like, that music, that bop. That,
All I wanted to hear is
ride with it,
shit that makes you, that gives you that angry face that.
This nigga was just stabbing people in fucking in the Taj Mahal, listening to DMX just shanking.
Yeah, that.
Where my dogs at? Where my dogs at? Timberlands on and everything.
That's the shit that got me. But yo, you think Hustler's music got bopped to it? I feel like that was.
No, his lyrics, the way he rhymes over it.
Nah, that even the lyric was. Maybe. It was too smooth. That's
the bop, nigga. The smooth. It's smooth. That's what bop
is. That was New York rapping in the rain. You know, hoodie over the head. Nah, even the way the rap, because usually he was more like animated at that time still, right? That was the first time you just heard him call the fuck. That,
baby, yeah. I'm out here trying. That's that bop, nigga. That's that baby, I'm out here. That's what that bop is, nigga.
You can't tell me that sounds, that. Not even what he's saying, but that sound sounds more south than it does east.
Right?
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I don't know. I disagree. I feel like that was the first time.
And how he said east?
I felt that was the first time he just like calmed the fuck down. And just rap like how a New York nigga would be like, just cool, like, yo, nigga, this is what happened.
New York is like, yo, I'm out here killing things, throwing the dealings, grand pamperlinas and things, throwing the dealings. You dealings? How is it? Like, at that point, when Hustle Music came out, New York niggas weren't calm.
Yo, what are you talking
about? Hustle Music came out? 05?
Yo, the whole flow was very, like, New York always had, like, a rhythm in the flow, right? Whereas those South rappers were always like, it was way more chanty. It's like, you know how did you just say Rick Ross?
No, Rick Ross wasn't out then when that came out. I don't think.
Okay, but you know how like Rick Ross is a South rapper that just, he has that East Coast flow.
No, he has an Outkast flow. He has a Goody Mob flow. He has a Rick UGK Ross? Flow. He has
Rick Ross.
Rick Ross's flow is that out. It's syrup. Like, you gotta think, like, Rick Ross's, the Southern flow is, if you took the East Coast and you mellowed it out like molasses, look at UGK. If you look at Bun B and you look at Pimp C, not lyrically, but you would say they have an East Coast flow, but they don't have an East Coast flow. They have a Southern flow.
The
people would say that they have an East Coast flow because people are used to the southern hypey shit that used to the southern dance shit, you know what I'm saying, the Miami bass or the ATL bass and the shit that was like bump bump bump, or that Manny Fresh shit that you know what I'm saying, where it's like, but that's part of the South most definitely, but then you're not keeping into, that's like saying that all East Coasters, that's like saying someone sounds different because you're listening to DMX when you're used to listening to Tribe Called Quest or De La Soul or da-da-da-da, right? So that's the same thing with the South. So when you're listening to how Wayne didn't pick up an East Coast flow, he just picked up a different Southern flow. He picked up some of the ATL. He didn't keep that I can't remember what the music was called in Louisiana, but Louisiana was all about that club pop shit. Not pop, bop. A different bop.
Yeah, I could buy that a little bit, but I will say when I heard Hustler Music, it definitely felt way more East Coast than any Lil Wayne track.
East Coast niggas are always gonna try and put your brand on something. Yo, East Coast ain't got no love for Snoop Dogg. East Coast ain't got no love for Death Row.
Yeah, and
we know you.
I ain't even from the East. It's not like it's my brand. I'm just saying, like, this is how it felt.
It may as well be, my nigga. I remember you and know you. The East may as well be your brand. I remember showing up to the same party in a wife beater and Dickie shorts, and you have a full on goose down, like a goose down vest, a wife beater, and Tim's. Nah, you know what I'm saying? I remember being at the same party with you. Yeah, I'm too chunky to wear a wife beater. I'm just saying. I got titties. I can't be putting a wife beater on. Wife would get mad. Where we at? We at 114. The new mutation of COVID. How you feel?
This might sound ignorant, but I ain't worried yet.
It's in Canada.
Yeah, they got two cases of it. But I heard two things. One, that it's a bit milder, but it is more contagious.
Right.
But if it's milder, who gives a fuck?
Well, yeah. I hate that attitude, even though I share it.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm not here to be
I know you. You're not who gives a fuck, blah, blah, blah. I'm just going to run out and breathe on people and da-da-da, right? But you're saying that we don't need all the hype behind it to scare folks, is what you're saying. Yeah. And I agree 100%. And we always try to not, like, we say, like, you, me, and Idol say who gives a fuck all the time. But we're the last people to have the who gives a fuck attitude just because we old. And shit kind of hits us different now. You know what I'm saying? After having families, shit hits different. Yeah. But it's one of those things where it's like I called it. COVID's going to mutate, and we're going to need to have the vaccine every year. You dig what I'm saying? And it's not going to be as deadly as it was in the past, but it is going to be more severe than the flu. And it's one of those things where it's like, even if it's a little more severe than the flu, but doesn't kill you, the chances of killing you is low.
Yo,
it's going to put a... go ahead.
I was going to ask you a question. I don't know if you'll even know the answer to this, but just think about this theoretically. Do you think COVID have a higher death rate than the flu in older people? Like, because if you're 70, you catch the flu, it can kill you.
Right.
Same thing with COVID. Like, is COVID actually more deadly than the flu? Do you know?
I don't. I have to look into it. But I remember I looked at some stuff. I think it might be a tad in people that are more susceptible to dying from regular illnesses. I think it is a little bit more deadly. It is more deadly, but I think
the onslaught of that deadliness is more people die from the flu in a year than people have died in COVID in this year specifically.
Well, yeah, but I think more people have died from COVID this year than have died from the flu this year.
No, yeah, no, I'm not comparing this year, but I'm saying
that's what I mean.
Average year,
the average, yeah,
the flu will kill more people than COVID has.
But we haven't had an average COVID year yet, so true, those numbers I know. Don't really
that's what
pan
I'm
out, right? And the thing is that it may not be more deadly, but its deadliness is more rapid.
What do you
mean? So if 2 70-year-olds with the same ailments, one gets the flu and one gets COVID, the person with COVID is more likely to die. And it's going to happen faster.
You think so?
And the symptoms of COVID, that the crazy symptoms of COVID, like the respiratory and everything like that, happen faster than what would happen if you had the flu. And you're susceptible to that. So it's not even that. Half of the battle is that COVID will kill you if you're susceptible to it. And da-da-da, and it's going to do it. You're going to get those deathly symptoms faster. But it's going to clog up the health system faster too. And I think that's one of the main issues, but they don't want to explain it to us like that, where it's like, okay, you have the flu, which is going to, people are susceptible to pneumonia, a whole bunch of different stuff with the flu. And the same population is going to be susceptible to that with COVID and then some, you know what I'm saying? Whereas if you and I get the flu, chances are you and I will be okay. If you and I get COVID,
chances are we'll be okay.
But there's a higher chance that one of us won't.
Is there?
There is. There's a higher chance that one of us won't. So COVID won't always kill, but there's a higher chance that it will be more negative at some point, just randomly. Right? Because we're not seeing cases of the flu killing perfectly healthy people.
Yeah,
but it will still kill, but not as much as COVID kills perfectly healthy people. But that rate still isn't crazy high because it's still killing susceptible people crazy high, just like the flu is. So it's one of those things where it's like we can look at all the numbers we want. But if people are like, well, COVID is the same as the flu. Okay, cool. Let's say COVID is 100% the same as the flu. Well, now you have more to deal with. You don't have just the flu. You have COVID. And let's say COVID now we have a COVID infection that infects at double the rate that the flu does. Now we're going to be at a point where we're going to be overwhelmed in our health system. COVID may not be more deadly, but if it runs through susceptible people, if the flu gets five of them, COVID's getting the other 10 with the same results as that flu. Live or die, it's pulling people into the healthcare system. You may live, but you're still using the healthcare resources. And that's how I feel. You know what I'm saying? So it's one of those things where it's like, okay, let's say COVID isn't more deadly than the flu. I don't know. COVID's been here for 11 months or 9 months. So I don't know. We don't have averages to base it on and shit. But I do know that the amount of people that COVID has killed in the last 9 months is somewhat alarming. Regardless if it's killed more or less, it's an addition to.
Well, it's funny enough so you say addition to, but the flu cases have gone down drastically.
Right.
Like I don't even know.
Is that because the COVID cases have
reported flu case in Alberta this year?
Well, is that because we haven't been around people? Yeah. Like, is that because we haven't seen a motherfucker?
But that's
you know what I'm saying? When we're allowed to start seeing motherfuckers and we get the flu and shit, like.
But that's why like even your idea that now it's on top of the flu. It's like, well,
yeah.
It's almost like it just replaced the flu because ain't nobody got the flu no more. You know what I mean?
Right? But in all truth and honesty, it is. Everybody can have whatever stance they want. But when you sit back and realize you live in a time where a brand new sickness that has the potential to kill has emerged, you have to realize that A, it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And B, this is not going to be the only one.
No.
You know what I'm saying? When AIDS hit, shit was real and it wasn't the only one. Now, thank God we didn't get a crazy mutated version of AIDS that transmits through the air. Because we've all been in the dope house. So, with our pants on. We all been in a dope house and kept our pants on. Imagine if AIDS went through the air. It's a wrap. Niggas would die. You know what I'm saying? But all jokes aside, as soon as they started saying we're all in this together, I started to see people acting like we're not. Regardless of what side they're on, anti or for, it's a conspiracy or it's not.
Yeah.
Wear a mask or don't. It's divided the shit out of us. I was thinking that being forced, regardless of why, being forced to limit human interaction would increase human empathy. And I think it's done the opposite. I'm seeing motherfuckers downtown protesting wearing a mask, arguing with people protesting not to wear a mask. Yet, both of their fights are for human rights and respect. But as they're fighting for human rights and respect, they're disrespecting other humans.
Yeah.
Let's talk about we're all in this together. But if you see your neighbor doing something you don't think they should, tell on your neighbor. And we had that whole conversation a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I had to agree with Idol. Like, yeah, maybe you should. Like, it might be something detrimental. But then instead of telling on your neighbors, maybe you should handle it differently. None of us are going to tell on our neighbors. But at the end of the day, if we see our neighbors are partying all the time, we might be setting up some infrastructure to separate us from the neighbors. You know what I'm saying? But we're wary of our neighbors. That's... You know what I'm saying? We're wary of other humans. One of the joy of being human is interacting and meeting other humans.
100.
No. Nope. And that's being pulled from us. And that could be thrown into a whole new conspiracy theory.
True.
But.
Yeah.
I'm still not getting the vaccine yet.
You're not.
You see, Pfizer, Mobellum, whatever the fuck. No. Nope.
You know what all this proved to me is that everyone's a hypocrite. Everyone.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. Including myself.
Yeah. Because it's funny because all those things I see, like, these anti-maskers kind of, like, protesting for, I'm like, yeah, I get it. I agree with it. But, like, I ain't going to go protest for it. Especially, like, as a black man, I can't be like, what? I got to wear a mask? That's the least issue I could even think about protesting about. You know what I mean? But
I gotta put on a mask before I enter a store? Yeah. My cousin got killed for that last Tuesday. You know what I mean? Like.
But it's funny, like, but I said, I'm not an anti-masker, but I prefer not to wear a mask. You know, you know.
Right.
So I don't even know how to even hold myself accountable for my own ideology on the subject, right?
Oh, I 100% prefer not to wear a mask, but I work 10 to 11 hours a day with a mask on my face.
Yeah.
Because I'm around other people.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I prefer not to wear a mask, but. Regardless of what I read or what I study or look into, I don't know what is being fed to me is truth or fiction.
And also,
but at the end of the day, after 106 hours of wearing a mask on my face, if I'm still alive, that's not what gonna kill me.
Yes. Yes. Wearing a mask is not going... That's what I look at. Like, wearing a mask is not going to kill me.
Mm-mm.
So I don't understand... I get it. It's like, it's inconvenient. And that's the thing I don't understand, how people are like, this is, for someone to take it away an inconvenience for you.
Yeah.
And you want to fight like it's a civil right. I'm just like, I don't buy it, son. And you're more than comfortable giving away your rights in any circumstance that you're comfortable with. You know what I mean? Like, half these guys are construction workers that wear steel-toe boots. And they don't come.
That's an inconvenience.
They don't argue when the boss says you can't come to work without your steel-toe boots. You know what I mean? Nobody says that. And literally, what the fuck do steel-toe boots do? Out of all the things that are going to kill you on a job site, do you really care about bumping your big toe? You know what I mean? Like, to me, that's almost the equivalent of wearing a mask. I'm like, who the fuck? I don't remember. Like, when did steel-toe boots become the most important personal protective equipment on a job site?
I worked at a warehouse where they said you cannot wear steel toe boots because every single thing that will drop on your foot at this place will just sever the top half of your foot off if you have a piece of metal in between the drop and your foot. Get your toes crushed and hope for the best.
Yeah. Sure.
But you know what I'm saying? As a black man, I agree with you. As a black man, it's hard to protest inconvenience.
Yeah, like, I'm just like, we have bigger issues.
It's a weird thing to fucking protest. It's like, yo, I don't want to wear a mask. Why? Because it's an inconvenience. Motherfucker, what? Wear the mask and shut the fuck up. You know what else is an inconvenience? Dying. Like, you know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers is getting shot. Well, you're not going to get shot here. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I put it like this. Yes, I agree with anti-maskers. Okay? It is 100% your choice if you should wear a mask or not. It is also 100% your choice if you're going to drive drunk. If you're going to get all fucking drunk and jump in your car, that's your choice. If you're going to plow through a family or another car or da da da, that's definitely your choice. You made that fucking choice. It's definitely your choice. You know what I'm saying? But even though it's your choice, you have the responsibility to make the responsible choice.
Yeah.
Yes, we don't want to wear a mask. Yes, a mask is 126% inconvenient. But I really feel that we've been living through 40 plus years of inconvenience.
Yeah. What are you talking about? I was born with an inconvenience.
Being black.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Shit.
Yeah, right? So it's like, you guys want to bitch about a mask? Sure. It's like, try being black. If you were black, you would not give two fucks about a mask.
So you have to wear a mask. Cool, because usually our oppressors are the ones wearing the masks. And the hoods. And the sheets. I digress. So we talked about like three things. Awesome. I feel like 30 minutes of tirade. It works. did you have any shout? If you had any shout, but what's crazy is when we don't do a write-up, like we don't have the Trello, I have no idea how to do the write-up. I got to listen to the whole episode again. Rah, rah, rah. And that's my minor inconvenience that I'm going to protest tomorrow on my balcony with four signs. And I'm not wearing a mask. Do you have any shout-outs? Anything you want to, anybody?
Shout-out my family. Shout-out to Will Hayes.
You can't shout me out every episode, bro. Like, stop.
Okay,
we here.
Fuck Will Hayes.
Oh, wow. Wow. Let me give you a round of applause for that one.
Is it really a round of applause? I can't hear it. You might be...
It is. It's done now.
Meanwhile, I'm gonna listen to the episode. It's gonna be you're a nigga.
Rapid fingers, like I'm flicking the bean.
You know, shout out to Idol, shout out to yourself, shout out to all the fam that I spent Christmas with, shout out to everyone that's holding it down, going through this crazy shit, shout out to the whole wide world. You know, everyone's fucking going through something right now, so.
Yeah, definitely gonna give a shout out to everybody that's going through something. 2020 was. Shout out to everybody that posted 2020 is gonna be their year. You know what I'm saying? We all make mistakes. If you wanna make God laugh, tell him what your plans are. I wanna give a shout out to everybody that watched us on Twitch, Twiggity Twitch, cause I can't stop Mr. Good Stuff. Everybody else. I can't see everybody that popped on the Twitch. If you haven't chatted, hit the fucking voice chat. A big fuck you to Dicks on My Face that wanted the shout out. There's your shout out. Go fuck yourself. Take the dicks off of your face. There's semen in your eye. That's going to cause a blockage of your pores. You're going to get a sty on your eye. Get the fuck out of here.
Wow.
I want to give a shout out to everybody listening. I want to give it a shout out to the Smoke Gear. IWantOfTheSmokePodcast.com. Where'd I go? This way. IWantOfTheSmokePodcast.com. You know what I'm saying? The hats match the hoodies match the socks. Want to give a shout out to Polo.
Ralph Lauren.
Yo, give a shout out to Ralph. Can we get this? Hold on. Can we get this cup in a shot? I want to give a shout out to Ralph Lauren.
Word.
Polo by Ralph Lauren. That is a fucking high-tech camera. That was worth the fucking money. That took the whole, I need to shoot porn with this. Babe!
Oh, wow.
We shooting some porn. Give a shout out to Idol. He couldn't be here today, but you know what I'm saying? That's the road dog. Want to give a shout out to him. Get a shout out to Jay Thaddeus for being the newest member on The Smoke and bringing the heat in this motherfucker. Other than that, I think that's it. So with that,
we out this
motherfucker. We out this motherfucker.
You think this is a game? This ain't a game. This is real life. I want all the smoke. The podcast that ain't afraid to speak the truth, motherfuckers.